Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Mother of Fawn podcast. My name is Audrey, and in today's episode, I am going to be diving super deep into my story as a content creator and the journey that I went on to get to where I am today, because I have recently been going through a lot of self-reflection and self-growth. And I think my story really can, tell you where I was before, what happened recently, and why I'm just like completely resetting everything. So if you don't know me, my name is Audrey. I am a mom, a first-time mom to a baby girl named Amelia Rose. She is 15 months old, and I'm currently just navigating, obviously, new motherhood and kind of maintaining my identity and being a content creator. So I wanted to dive super deep into this episode and go all the way back to when I first started my creative journey, which, if you can believe it, was in third grade. So I'm going to get to the whole story in a second, but I just wanted to preface by saying that I hope the audio is okay today, because yesterday, when I recorded the revival episode, I did it at home on the computer. And so I wanted it to be quiet, right? Because I thought if it's quiet, the audio would be better. But honestly, I kind of like the background noise a little bit. So I'm hoping that the audio itself is not distracting. You may hear like a bird or a car here and there, because I am currently outside walking my dog, Peanut. My poor dog never gets to go on walks anymore, because I usually take the baby for her walks, and I can't control the stroller and him on his leash at the same time, because he barks at other dogs and he pulls me everywhere. So I just can't take both my kids out at once. So I just put Amelia down for her nap. I'm really praying she takes a long nap, but the last 2 days she's been sleeping only 30 something minutes, which is super annoying. So I stuffed her with yogurt and peanut butter and water and milk, and I'm hoping that a full tummy and a new, you know, she just pooped as well. So hopefully after eating and pooping, she will sleep for a long time. So I decided to do this recording. I am recording on my phone using my AirPods while outside walking in the sunshine with a Peanut, again, because the silent recording, like, obviously you can hear my voice, but it just didn't feel as real, and I want this to be as real as if you're, like, hanging out with me. So I just figured that this may sound better. So I want you, if you're listening, please let me know what you prefer. So if you've heard the previous episode versus this one, I'd love to hear your feedback. Text me if you know me personally. Go on Instagram, Mother Fawn, send me a message. You can email me, audrey@motherfawn.com. I just really want to hear from you and know if this actually sounds better. So let me know. But now that that's all been said, I'm going to jump right into my story. So, wow, it's quite a story. So it all begins when I was in third grade. That's the earliest I can remember myself being like super creative and like taking pictures. So I've always loved photography. I'm not a professional at all, but it's just something that I have loved. I've had a passion for since third grade. So I would get those disposable cameras, you know, I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope I'm not too old. I would get those disposable cameras at Walmart, right? And you take your pictures. It has like 30 pictures. And then when you're done, you rewind it, you bring it to the store, you drop it off, they develop it, and then you come pick it up. Usually I would do it like that, because you could do like 1 hour develop, but I think it costs more. So I started by doing that. I took my disposable camera to school with me and took pictures of my classmates during recess. I still have the pictures, which is crazy. like hard pictures, like real pictures. Nowadays, everything's on your phone. Everything's digital, but it's just crazy. I have like these pictures. So I'm pretty sure that's when I really started with photography as a creative outlet. But I've always been a writer as well. So even during, I want to say second grade is when I started with, I was in this program called Gifted and Talented, which sounds like, I don't know, it sounds weird, but I was in this Gifted and Talented program for writing since the second grade. And I would do like lots of journaling, poetry, stuff like that. So that I just wanted to tell you guys that because that shows like I have been creative from the get-go, from when I was just a little kid. Some of the other things I did for creative outlet was I would do audio recordings. So I had my laptop and I had GarageBand, right? And I would record my grandparents when they didn't know. And then I would edit it. So I have this one recording of my grandma. And she, you know how grandmas are, they always want to offer you food all the time. My grandma would always say, you want this, you want that, you want some cutlets, I got some meatballs, you want a slice of cheese, salami, you want this, you want that. So she did it so often that I would just record her randomly, and then I edited the clip, so it's just like a mashup of her offering all these foods, and I put music over it. And I burned it onto a CD, and I still have the CD. I still listen to it from time to time, and I still quote it because it's just funny. So that's one of the things I did as a creative outlet growing up when I was in, I want to say that was like middle school. And then what happened next? I mean, I always did writing. I have literally all the years from like, middle school and up are pretty much documented like every single day in either handwritten journals or I typed up a blog in high school. So I did that. I did some YouTube in high school. And another thing I did that was really cool is I accidentally did double exposure on my disposable camera. So if you've ever used it, what happens is you take pictures on the disposable camera, you rewind the film, and you drop it off at the place. And so what happened was I rewound the film, forgot that I filled that camera already, took a bunch of pictures, and then when I got it developed, I was surprised to find I had double exposure, which is basically like two pictures on the same picture. So it looked really cool and creepy. I had like pictures of my cats and then pictures of the school dance. So you would see me and my friends in our dresses with like a holographic cat overlaid over the picture. It was really cool and I loved it. So when I was younger, I was very creative. I did all these things. And something that I realized recently is as I was growing up, I never felt like I wasn't enough. I never felt like I was uncomfortable with myself or feeling like, what's the word, when you're like nervous, you're shy, I can't remember. But anyways, I never really felt like that. I was comfortable in my skin. I loved myself. I thought I was hilarious. I still do today. But like, I just embraced who I was as Audrey. I was crazy. I was weird. I wore a belt with squirrel's tails to school. Yeah, I was like a crazy person, but I loved it and I had so much fun. Peanut, come this way. We're walking in a place where they're doing roofing. I don't want the noise to bother you guys. So anyways, I just was always so happy with myself. And I think it's because I was very connected with who I was and I wasn't afraid to show it. So that was me in my younger years. And then as I got older, you know, I went to college. I stopped doing those creative things. I stopped writing and doing YouTube and doing everything. I still did some pictures, but not as much. And I guess that was like the chapter of my life where I met my husband. And so we just kind of spent our time getting to know each other. I did pick up exercise as a hobby over like these creative things. So that's kind of the chapter there. And then in 2015, I would say, 15 really, I started working at a law firm. I'm going to say 2016. I had an iPhone 5 and I worked in New York City. So I would go around, I would eat my lunch during work time. And then during the actual lunch hour, I would go out on the streets of New York, take pictures on my iPhone and edit them in like Snapseed, which is just a little basic photo editing app on your phone. And it was so much fun. I loved doing it. I would post it on my Instagram. And I didn't have a fancy camera, but I think the beauty of an iPhone is if you are creative, it can look professional. Like, you just have to know what you're doing. So I spent a lot of time doing that. Then I got my first camera, like real camera, in February 2017. I bought myself a photography camera. Sony A6000 was the camera I bought, with a kit lens and a zoom lens. And I wanted to do nature photography, street photography, and portrait photography. And that's what I did. So I got really creative. I would go out again in New York or in like places where there's wildlife. So I have lots of duck pictures because I really like ducks. I always said my favorite animals are cats and ducks. So you can tell. And I do like squirrels. Have lots of pictures of flowers, squirrels, ducks, birds, robins, you name it. And then lots of street photography. So all the unique architecture in New York City I would take pictures of. And what I liked about like nature and street photography is that I could be vibrant with my edits. So with portrait, you have to be careful of like skin tones and stuff. So it can't be too like out of the box when you edit those. But for street photography and stuff, you can make it look as vibrant as you want. And that has always been my style. So in recent times, the era of Instagram and social media and influencer, blah, 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 people are less into those vibrant edits and more into like bright and airy, minimal, you know, that kind of stuff. Not too many bright colors. Apparently green is like a sin. Like, you have to tone down your greens, desaturate your greens so they don't take over the picture. So, you know, I'm just trying to paint the whole picture of my creative journey so that you can understand why I recently felt so discouraged and so upset with what I was doing on Instagram. So back to 2017. I'm just going to continue through the timeline until we get to it now. So yeah, I took beautiful pictures. 4th of July, I went and took pictures of fireworks. It looks so cool. Wow. Like, these pictures are amazing. I can't wait to actually look back on these pictures. I think I might do that later today and just like re-inspire myself by looking at these pictures. I did some portrait photography of my friends. I had so much fun doing that because I love capturing people in their natural state. So not as much with the like posing and stage stuff, but more just like we interact together, or I will capture them either interacting with me, like if I make them laugh, or interacting with the environment we're in. So if like they're eating or something, I don't know, like I have this one picture of my friend Katie and she's just standing like checking her phone. But it's such a good picture. I don't know. It just like captures a moment in time. And I feel like someday people looking back on that, it's going to be really interesting to see because it's so relevant now. But in, you know, 50, 60 years from now, that's going to be like old school, you know. So I love the beauty of capturing moments like that. And I love photography. So I did photography. And then since I had this fancy camera, let me talk about my YouTube journey real quick. So I started YouTube in summer of 2017. I restarted it. I took a hiatus from 2010 to 2017 pretty much. And then I got back into it. So I went to Vietnam and I've been a few times now. And I took like all these videos on my iPhone 5. I took them in the horizontal mode, like the landscape mode, because I figured someday I might do something with the footage, but I really didn't have any plans for it. And then one day I was like, you know what? Let's make this into like a vlog, like travel vlogs. So I put all these things together. I posted like 5 videos on my channel. I did like one a week. And then once I finished uploading those, I didn't want to stop uploading. I had so much fun. I just found my love for creating again, video. I mean, I still love photography, but video was something that I was like suddenly re-inspired to do. So I started my videography again on YouTube and I never stopped. So I have been doing vlogs, but mostly vlogs on my channel. And the reason, like, my inspiration for starting it is I have videos from, like, you know, 2009 where I actually really like to watch them and get almost, like, see the memories. Hold on a second. Sorry. I'm, like, trying to... Hold on. There was, like, 6 people with strollers and the car, and I was trying to keep Peanut away. So anyways, I was so re-inspired to do video, right? So my why on why I did it was because when I watched my old videos, I found so much value in that. Like seeing who I was, what I was doing, just seeing a snapshot of life. Again, just like photography, you see a snapshot of a time before. And that was beautiful to me. So I decided to start really vlogging. And I did it because I loved it, not because it was a career for me. Although I did, you know, obviously know that people do make money from YouTube and some people do have YouTube as a career. But for me doing it, it wasn't about that at all. So I have to catch my breath. So I've been doing YouTube for almost 4 years now. I have grown my channel from 0 to almost 100,000 subscribers. And with that growth came more pressure, kind of, because like I started to make money and I started to really envision myself being a full-time content creator. So now fast forward to present time. I'm going to say last year, a year ago. So this is May, we're May 10th, May 12th. No, we're May 13th. Okay. Yeah, exactly a year ago, on May 15th, 2020, I quit my job to become a stay-at-home mom because coronavirus obviously was happening. My mother-in-law was not here to help with childcare, and I just didn't feel comfortable sending my 4-month-old to daycare or trusting a nanny to come into our home. I said, okay, I've built this platform up pretty good. So what I can do now is build up the Instagram, have a blog, so have like kind of a triple threat, YouTube, Instagram, and a blog, build these all up, make my own income streams, and then be a full-time content creator while being a stay-at-home mom. That was the plan. And ever since then is when I feel like my soul got sucked out of me. So I know it's a really long story. I hope you guys are enjoying it. But it's just cool to like express who I am. So once it was about the money and not about creating for fun and for me, I got so stressed out. So especially entering the influencer world. So if you don't know, Instagram is usually the main place where influencers will grow their audience because brands love Instagram. And I don't know why it's like that, because I feel like Instagram is just, people want to claim they're authentic and whatnot, but I just feel like it's so fake. And I've really realized that recently. So I tried to grow my Instagram because I thought, well, if I have 10,000 followers on Instagram, I can really make a full-time living doing Instagram plus YouTube. My YouTube's pretty big, but I felt like it was not enough. I needed more. I needed Instagram to grow in order to validate myself as a full-time content creator. So I threw myself into growing my Instagram account. And with that came trying to learn how to be an influencer. So there's all these rules that generally an influencer will follow on Instagram. So I'm going to name a few just so you can understand how much pressure I was under. So you have to post every day, because if you don't, the algorithm is not going to favor your content and they're not going to push you out. But you can't post more than once a day, because if you post too many times, your audience is going to get sick of you and unfollow. You have to be consistent. You have to write captions that are engaging and that have a call to action to tell your followers to do something every time. Whether it's like this post if you agree, leave a comment, let me know what you think, whatever, right? Calls to actions. You have to use hashtags, but don't use too few, don't use too many. And the type of hashtag matters. Don't use too many large hashtags. You have to research what's in your niche. You have to find hashtags that have 50,000 or less so that you can dominate your hashtags. You have to have a niche. So your page has to be clear when somebody clicks on it. People have to be able to clearly know what you're sharing, right? So, I mean, that obviously makes sense from a branding standpoint. And then you have to have branding. Like, you have to have your, like, the same types of edits every time. You have to be consistent with the type of content you're posting. Everything has a rule. You have to post at a certain time of day because that's when you get the most engagement. You have to engage 30 minutes before you post and 30 minutes after you post. You have to be engaged on stories. All these rules, right? And if you are listening and you are an influencer, goddamn, you are busy, because trying to follow all these rules and make good content and like make these contracts with brands, pitching brands and getting paid contracts and fulfilling those contracts all at once. And usually influencers don't do it full time on its own. Usually they have a real, you know, a 9-to-5 job in, you know, in conjunction with the influencer, or they're a mom like me. And it's just so much. So I spent my year trying to follow all the rules, learn how to do it, right? So learn how to write copyright. That's what they call when you're writing anything for a caption and you want to persuade someone to do something. You have to be good at copywriting. You have to be good at taking your own photos, editing consistently, planning your feed, all these things, right? So because of the way it's set up, I felt pressure to change the way I create content in order to fit what I felt would be what I needed to grow. I spent so much time engaging with people. I joined like engagement groups and met other people. And, you know, it wasn't all bad. You know, some of the people I met are good friends of mine now. And I did learn a lot. But I also learned what I don't like, which is living that life of constantly chasing people to follow you. So I have a pretty good audience on Instagram. And it's not 10K, but it's a pretty, you know, it's a good amount of people that follow and care about me. But this whole time, I have been so focused on, well, it's only 3,000 people. I need 10,000. So what can I do? What's the next big thing I can do to get more people to follow me, to reach that threshold, so that way I can be quote unquote successful? And all this time I wasted my daughter's first year of life, I wasted because I was so caught up in doing this. And it got to the point where I told myself, you know, I'm not happy doing this. I'm just doing this because I think it's what I need to do in order to be successful and in order to finally get that full-time income. Because at this point now, I'm not planning to go back to work for a long time. We're going to have another baby at some point soon. Not tomorrow, but maybe by the end of the year, I'll be pregnant. And I just don't see myself going back to work only to then either have a short maternity leave or quit a job again so I can have a longer maternity leave. It doesn't make sense. So here I am. I've been struggling mentally with motherhood because that's a whole crazy thing, you know, being a new mom in a pandemic, isolated with no help. I don't have my village, and I can talk about that in another episode if you guys want to hear more about like an updated experience. I do plan to share my mental health struggles as well here on this podcast. So if you're not into the whole content creator thing, I'm sorry if this episode is not as exciting for you, but I will be talking about motherhood stuff as well. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is I got to a breaking point and I said, literally, what the fuck am I doing? I'm not happy. I'm so stressed. I'm experiencing postpartum rage. I get angry with my daughter. And there were a few things, like red flags, that told me that I needed to change. So the first red flag was that I was being bullied by another influencer on Instagram. This girl came at me because I wasn't liking all her posts. I was following her, but I wasn't liking every post she put up, right? And she claimed that since she likes my posts and comments on my posts, I was obligated to do the same for her. And, you know, I thought it was a little strange. Like, why would you even be noticing that? You have like 17,000 followers. Who cares? And so then she was sending me voice messages, like attacking me. And she said, you of all people should understand why this is important, why engagement is important. And you're not being supportive and you are a bad, like she basically said, you're a bad person because you're not liking my pictures. And I told her, I said, I really don't understand what you're saying because at the end of the day, I'm a mom before I'm anything else. And so I'm sorry if I don't have time to like every picture I see on Instagram, but I have to be a mom first. And so it was in that moment I was like, am I really cut out for this? Because like, she's a mom too. She has 3 kids, but she's constantly on Instagram, liking, engaging, and posting and doing giveaways and all this stuff, trying to keep up. She's trying to keep up because she's built her online presence in a way that if she stops doing these things, she's going to lose everything. And that's exhausting. And that's what I was on the road to getting to. And that's when I noticed it. I was like, you know, maybe this isn't for me. Like, I like sharing my experiences as a mom, but if this is the road I'm going down, I don't know if this is for me. So that was the first red flag. And then the second red flag, what was it? I just thought of it and now I forgot. The second red flag was, oh yes, I remember. The second red flag was, it was during the day. And for my Instagram account, it tells me best time to post is like 9 to 10 a.m., right? But that's when I'm watching my daughter. My husband's working and I'm watching my daughter. But I would still push myself to post at that time because I thought that that's what I had to do to grow. That's what I have to do if I want to be an influencer. I have to follow the rules and post at the scheduled times. So I remember I was sitting there. I was trying to work on my caption and get it up at the scheduled time, and my daughter wandered into my husband's office where he was working and was trying to climb on his lap and grab his computer and all this stuff. And he got really mad. He's like, hey, what's going on? Why aren't you watching her? And I said, well, I'm trying to do my post. And he said, well, I can put my 2 weeks notice in if you really want to be the one working. And that's when I was like, damn, maybe he's right. Like, I got mad because I was like, why is he being so dramatic? Like, just let me do my Instagram post. But that's not the first time that I ignored my daughter because I was trying to do Instagram. That's not the first time. And so I think that was another red flag and also a wake-up call for me because I was like, why am I doing this? I'm not even happy doing this. And my family's not happy with me doing this because I'm not watching my daughter. And my husband needs me to do that so he can work and make the money so we can pay our mortgage and have a place to live. So then I was like, you know what? Maybe it's time for a break. Maybe I just need to log off Instagram and just not even look at it for a while. And that's what I did. So if you're following me on Instagram, you know I took a break, 10 days offline. I deleted the app from my phone. So I didn't want any, like, I didn't want any temptation to even click on the app and check it. So I just completely deleted it. And I spent 10 days offline. And let me tell you, that was so therapeutic. That was exactly what I needed. And I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't woken up and just got offline. I would have just kept going in that same loop, that same negative loop of, oh my God, what am I going to post? What caption am I going to do? Oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. I have to post it now. The baby's climbing on me. I'm so annoyed. Like, I wish I had time so that I could work. I call it work. I'm like, I wish I had my time to work. Then I post something. It doesn't get as much likes or engagement. So then I'm freaking out and I'm telling people, like, can you go engage with my post, please? Like, I'm begging for people to just give me a like and a comment, hoping that my pictures will blow up and then I'll get, like, the followers that I'm trying to get. And then I just wash, rinse, and repeat. Like, okay, now I gotta find some more content to post. But it can't be too bright because that's not gonna match the feed. That's not gonna match what people like. And all this time I was creating content that I hated. I mean, sometimes I had a picture I liked, but for the most part, I hated the process. I hated it, and I just thought, if I just keep my head down and keep going, I'll reach 10,000, and then once I get there, I can do whatever the hell I want. I am nowhere close. After a year of doing this bullshit, I am in the same exact place as I was a year ago, only I've lost my soul and my sanity. And I can realize that now that I've, you know, gone offline and taken the time to reflect. So, here we are today. I have completely changed how I view this. And of course, you know, this is very therapeutic, talking through my whole journey and understanding that I thrive on being myself. And in a world where, in order to get ahead, you have to, like, do things the way other people expect you to, that just doesn't work for me. So, I now I'm happy to report that yesterday I made a post on Instagram, because I'm back on the gram. I made a post and I did not put any hashtags on the picture. And that was liberating. I was no longer chasing people and hoping that if I use the right hashtag, a bunch of people are going to find my content and follow me. You know, I said, you know what? Let's just post it with no hashtags. This is for me now. And if people find value in it, great. But I'm done chasing the follows. I'm done. And I know that I have a good base audience. So even if I, you know, I can still make money doing a few promotions here and there. But I'm not going to kill myself over it. I'm not promoting things I don't love anymore. I'm not comparing myself to the other influencers. I'm Audrey, and there's nobody else out there who is me, who can do what I do, who can create what I create. And I'm embracing that, and I am at peace now. So, that is my story. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. I enjoyed telling it, and it feels good. I hope that the audio was good again. There's a little tiny breeze, so I really hope that it's fine. But that's it. So, I think in the next episode, I'm going to talk more about my Instagram break and what I did during those 10 days to find myself again and pretty much change my life. It sounds super dramatic, but it's the truth. Like, I am completely changed now, and I can't wait to tell you guys more about it. So, I hope you enjoyed listening. You can rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts if you want to go give me a 5-star rating if you enjoyed it. But no pressure. It's just if you want to. I am just excited. I just hope that one person listens to this and feels empowered and feels like if you're in this loop, this negative social media loop, you can get out. You can find yourself again. You just have to be open to just turning it off. Just turn it off. If you're unhappy, if you're in a dark place, just turn it the fuck off. Like, the world's not gonna stop. And before I end this, when I logged back into Instagram, nothing changed. It's still the same follower count. It was still the same people posting the same shit 10 days later. So it's, you know, you're not missing anything if you go offline. The only thing you're getting when you go offline is your sanity back. So I highly recommend it. And with that, I hope you guys take care, stay safe, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.